Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the special edition of the Strang Report on Thursday, July 18th, 2024. Very rarely, maybe never, have I done a podcast like this. We're live the day of President Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention, and my friend Malachi O'Brien is there. And just yesterday, I found out that he was willing to do a live report on what's happening. We did it just moments ago, about an hour before we put this online. We needed time to edit it and do those kinds of things, but this is as close to live as we have ever been. Of course, people will be watching it later. They'll know what President Trump actually had to say. We speculated it. We talked about the importance of faith. But the most important takeaway is that he believes that Donald Trump is going to come across as a humble man because of what happened last Saturday. You don't want to miss this. And then I'll be back at the end with a comment. If you like this kind of reporting, if you resonate with my podcast, be sure to subscribe and hit the little button that lets, or the little bell that lets you know when we're on, and share this with others. This is hot. Now, I realize everybody's covering this. You've got the networks and everything else, but this is a spiritual perspective that you can't miss. Stay tuned. Malachi O'Brien, you are there at the Republican National Convention. Today is Thursday, the 18th. President Trump speaks tonight. Vice President J.D. Vance spoke last night. You're there. We're live. Tell us what's going on.
It is absolutely an electrifying Republican National Convention. It almost feels like, Steve, and I think you'll appreciate the language here, it feels like a revival service. I mean, the energy, the people that are in the room, the faith leaders that are here at the RNC, the testimonies that have been given, the stories that have been shared. This is absolutely a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'm honored to be here. It's hard to take it all in, but it's quite the moving experience, and especially after what happened last Saturday that the whole world knows about.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that. I've been to several Trump rallies, never been to the Republican National Convention, but a lot of them have the feel of a revival meeting. And in fact, I remember Paula White Cain, as before the rally started, went to the microphone and told people to join hands and to pray. And we prayed like we pray at church. And so I know that, is that the kind of thing that you're seeing there? Because I know that you're on the faith advisory board that Paula White Cain leads, and that's why you're there.
Correct. So, yeah. So I mean, there have been several moments. So the main sessions are in the evening, and there's so many events going on. It's hard to, I mean, it really is. This is so big at so many levels. It's hard to put it all in detail. But this morning, there was the Faith and Freedom Coalition breakfast with Ralph Reed. And so you had Jensen Franklin, Jack Graham, you had Paula White, you had so many other people get up, and Dr. Ben Carson. So many people get up and just share faith in Jesus Christ and their love for the Lord and the need for the gospel to go forth and the need for the church to step up in this hour. And there have been prayer from the main stage. You know, it just shows you that faith still matters in our nation. Freedom still matters. Family still matters. And it still matters even in this party, the Republican Party. It should be in all parties. This is not, faith and freedom should not be a partisan issue, but they have not shied away from those issues. It's been on the main stage.
Now, you mentioned what happened Saturday. Of course, everybody knows that President Trump survived an assassination attempt. And I even saw something online where apparently there was a movie preview and he made a few remarks and he talked about how this was drawing him closer to God or something to that effect. What are people saying there? I know a lot of people have said it's a miracle. They said it's providential. Even people that don't necessarily go to church are talking like that. What do you say?
Well, I got to share a story that I believe Ben Carson shared at the prayer breakfast this morning. And I think actually maybe even J.D. Vance shared it, but George Washington actually had a very similar experience. It only took place as being shot at, it took place like 50 miles from where we are right now at the Republican National Convention, where like he was on a horse. It got shot.
Well, let me tell you, it was 50 miles from where the president or the former president was shot because it was in Pittsburgh. I hate to tell you, Milwaukee wasn't started back during George Washington. And he had a couple of horses shot from under him. And it happened not just once to where people actually began to believe that he was invincible, which added to, or actually there wasn't a legend around George Washington back then. In some ways it kind of started the legend. So I hate to interrupt, but I had to make that little historical fact check. My doctor is not in history.
Okay, Steve. So thank you for correcting that. But it was such a miracle and providence that they said, even the Native Americans said, we want to meet the man that heaven favors. We want to meet the man that heaven favors. And so the reality is, you know, after Saturday, I'm actually only like 13 rows from where Trump has been sitting every night. And there's a different look on him. There's a different countenance on him. You can tell that this has done something to him, and the people around him are talking that way. He actually has written a completely different speech for tonight. So whatever he was going to share prior to Saturday, he's not sharing. So tonight is a completely different speech. I really believe this is a completely different Donald Trump. He recognizes that this is a miracle. I mean, when you have a bullet go, I mean, within just an inch of your life, it changes a lot of things.
And it didn't even miss him. It just missed his skull. It actually hit his body, you know, his ear, obviously. And it's just incredible what happened. Of course, all of us, due to technology, can see this. I've been glued to the TV from the time I go home at supper time until they end, which is 11 o'clock here. And of course, they show a lot of pictures of him. And you're right. He has a different persona, much more serious, more statesmanlike.
Even something beautiful last night, his granddaughter spoke. His, I think, 17-year-old granddaughter spoke. And it just brought the humanization of President Trump as a grandfather, as a father, and just you can tell that this is such a completely different convention than I think it would have been. There's something different about Trump, and it really there's no way to describe what happened Saturday apart from the providence of God and a divine supernatural miracle. And I fully believe God is giving America another chance, and our faith isn't in a man. But we have to see what God's doing, as Henry Blackaby used to say, and get in on what God's doing. And so we have another chance here. And tonight is going to be an historic night. We've already heard rumors that Hulk Hogan will be here tonight. Elon Musk will be here tonight. And then obviously late tonight is when Donald Trump will take the main stage. And I was at Donald Trump's RNC acceptance speech 4 years ago when he did it from the White House lawn. So I'm actually looking to compare both of these, but I'm telling you, there's something different about him. And this is going to be quite an historic night, a very historic night.
Well, I know you well enough to know that you were a Trump supporter before all this happened, but, and you've touched on this, but what do you believe, Malachi, has shifted since Saturday?
I would like to say that there seems to be a humility about there just seems to be a humility upon him. I think when you're within an inch of your life, it kind of brings that you're not invincible. You're not, I mean, and I think it is opening his eyes to the favor of the Lord on his life in a different way. I mean, there's just no way to describe it unless someone else has probably ultimately been there. And so, and it's been the conversation piece in everything that's been said. I mean, I just got to tell you this. Last night, okay, this is a good story. Last night, a 98-year-old World War II veteran got up, okay, and he shared his story and told everybody to support President Trump. And here's what he said. He said, if President Trump was commander-in-chief again, I would be happy to re-enlist for our country.
Oh, wow.
Because we have
that's
to defend
a great story.
We have to defend faith. We have to defend family. We have to defend freedom. And so it's special. There's something very, I mean, I'm not trying to make anything mystical or weird about this. There's something very special about this gathering, and there's something very special on Donald Trump as a person. And so I believe God is setting the stage for something powerful. I really wish there was some way I could convey to your audience the energy. I mean, I'm kind of turning around here so people can see there's people everywhere. And this is just the media section. Security everywhere. Obviously for many reasons after Saturday, but it's powerful. Steve, I wish I had something to compare this to, but I don't. But I can tell you, there is people of genuine faith and there's people not of faith here, but you can tell faith is welcome here and we want the gospel to go forth in power in America. And that has been clearly stated on multiple occasions.
Well, this is going out live at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the very day that former President Trump is going to, I guess they call it an acceptance speech. So people will be watching this afterwards. Right now, you and I are talking before it happens. What do you think he's going to say tonight? And I think it'll be interesting for people to reflect later when they see this on you know what we were thinking before he actually came out on stage.
Well, I think every day up until today has been kind of the miracle of Saturday. And then last night was definitely against just what people perceived as the failures of the current administration. And obviously, Steve, we're on the heels of being honest with you, of Joe Biden stepping out of the race. Like, that's almost about to happen. That's what's on the news everywhere right now. And there's even some prophetic stuff around that. We don't have time to go into that. I think tonight Donald Trump's going to share his heart. I don't think you're going to hear some of the same one-liners and some of the rhetoric we've heard in the past. I really think there'll be a humility about him. And I really believe there will be an anointing on him as he shares tonight a vision for America. I mean, he literally gave up he didn't have to do this. Like, he had all the money and the prestige and the power and the accolades that anyone could ever maybe want, if that's what they want. He didn't have to run. He's literally given everything to fight for America. His fortunes, his businesses, attacks on his family, and even attack on his own life. I think tonight we're going to hear him recognize the power and presence of God over him Saturday. I think he's going to call people not to unity. I think that's one of the things that I want people, your audience, to know. There has been a theme of unity in our nation. I know he got up and said fight, fight, fight on Saturday when he kind of got off the ground in this William Wallace Braveheart moment. Okay, but I really believe he's going to call America to unity, and I think he's going to reach out across to all, you know, and say this is what we have to do for the future of our country because the world depends on it, and it really does. I really wish, Steve, and you and I have talked offline about this. I mean, I know people think that you can't get involved in politics, that it's dirty and that you just got to stay out of it for the sake of the gospel. I totally disagree with that in the sense that our number one purpose is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and share the gospel. Our second greatest purpose is to protect the right to do that. And so tonight, this will be an historic night, and I really believe people will seek something completely different they have not seen before.
Boy, that's a good word. And I want to wrap up this short podcast because I know you got to get back to the convention floor. I really appreciate you doing this. So let me give you the last word and tell us how people should pray. I mean, some of it seems self-evident. But this is not a political. What we're facing in our country is spiritual, not really political. There's a political aspect to it. And there are some concerns. There were somebody, I think of the Hindu faith, prayed, did an opening prayer. Mm-hmm. The Republican platform was not as strong on abortion as it has been in the past. You know, there are some things that Christians, especially very conservative, charismatic Christians, are very concerned about. So how do you think... And I don't think these have to be perfect by any means. Nothing is perfect. Nobody's perfect. No platform is perfect. And, you know, the reality is that often politics is the lesser of two evils, and we don't have time to go into that. And I would think that most of my viewers would understand what I'm talking about. So how do you I want to give you the last word and tell us how we should pray.
I think we should pray like we have before, realizing that judgment begins at the house of God first. that our nation's where it is right now because of the state of the church. And so I think we need to take personal responsibility for where our nation's at, where our churches are at, where our families are at. And we should get on our knees and ask God to pour out his spirit on our lives, our families, our churches, our ministries for personal revival and renewal. I think we should do that first. And in light of time, we should pray for, there's so many things going on. It's obvious the enemy is at work. And honestly, it was the miracle providence of God to protect Donald Trump. So we need to pray for President Trump. It's demonic what's going on. But I would just say, I think of Isaiah. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he didn't point his finger at everybody else. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. And then he said, here am I, Lord, send me. I say, let's pray that God would speak to us and show us exactly what we must do today for the sake of the future tomorrow. And this is such a passion of mine, Steve. If we don't get involved now and we don't do this now, there is not an America for the next generation. There's not a church for the next generation. There's nothing to hand them off to. So as Ben Carson said this morning, if we're going to be the land, if we're going to be the land of the free, we have to be the home of the brave. We have to be courageous. We have to step up. We have to get involved. And so my appeal to your audience is to realize it's not by might, it's nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. My hope is not in Republicans or Democrats. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, it's heaven versus hell right now. And we need to pray that God gives us that burden. We can't hope somebody else fixes the problems. We have to take ownership now. And I believe people that are watching now are going to get that burden. Pray for their leaders in their state. Pray for their leaders in their cities. Get involved. And by all means, please make sure you vote come this November. Please. Make sure you vote. And for every pastor listening, watching right now, you don't have to agree with me or you or anyone else on anything, but it's time for pastors to get courageous and to speak on issues from the pulpit and to actually get involved. The black robed regimen for this hour. So that's a lot of things, Steve, but I still go back to we need to pray for revival in the church so we can see awakening in the land.
Hey, thanks for staying tuned this long. I hope you enjoyed that. You know, this is a first time for us. I don't ever remember, you know, of course we do live podcasts, but never something that is kind of like newsworthy like this. And I hope you enjoyed it. By the way, I'm not here just to push my book, but I think that my book, God and Donald Trump, is apropos because we talk about the spiritual aspects of how God raised up this man. It was written in 2017, but it's really still valid. You can get this on Amazon or really wherever Christian books are sold. And I just thought that I would say that. And be sure to subscribe. Be sure to hit the little bell. Be sure to share this with others. We've had several videos here at Charisma Media recently go viral in a small way. And I hope that this one does too. I'm just so excited that Malachi O'Brien agreed to be on my podcast today. And hopefully in the future, we can do other things like this. We're not trying to compete with the news networks that, you know, this is what they do, but we're trying to bring a spiritual perspective to what's happening and connect people within the body of Christ in a way that the news networks would not. They would not know someone like Malachi O'Brien, nor would they be concerned about the kind of things we talked about. But I know that you are, and that's why we bring it to you every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Until next time, God bless you.